What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in a half hour, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. We'll have him on each and every Wednesday at 10:30 throughout the football season. Another sign that we have made it to the start of the NFL season.
Looking forward
to having Ross join us on the show. Also, Josh Klingler, he is on his way to Brazil. He's going to join us at 11:30 today during the Chiefs Red half hour. Of course, he'll be on the sideline. I'll have to ask him about the field conditions a little bit, because that was a story last year when the Packers and Eagles played. Like, are they going to be dealing with a crappy surf again down there in Brazil?
I don't know that I'll ever see a worse field the Chiefs playing on than the one we saw in the Super Bowl against
Eagles.
Oh, that field. Like we were describing it to Spec the other day again. It had a noticeable odor to it. Like it was rotting. Or it had been rotting for days. It was disgusting. It was a bad field. Now, I still think Eagles players and fans complaining like they were one of only two teams that had to play on it. Like the Chiefs had a different field and different conditions is also kind of funny, but you know, it was a bad field. It was pretty nasty.
So I want to switch things up a little bit. We were going to start discussing a little bit about the rookies for the Chiefs. So we can get there in a little bit, but I want to address something. I already saw a text and I also want to bring something else to everybody's attention. So yesterday, I received multiple texts. I even had my 7-year-old nephew call me in the evening.
Called you?
Yes, and said, "Hey," because they were off of school yesterday.
They called Uncle Alex.
They called their uncle up because they were off of school yesterday, and so my mom was driving them around, hanging out with them during the day because obviously their parents were working
sure.
and stuff. And so at one point, I guess my mom must have had like the station
really random
on.
Day off of school.
Yeah, and then in service the day after Labor Day. That's a great gig for the kids. Anyway,
yeah.
So they were driving, and I guess my mom must have had the station on in the car, and they were listening. And at one point, I guess they heard they were listening to Carrington, which that's a bold move anyway, having the nephew listen to Carrington, having the 7-year-old. But at one point, Carrington, I guess, said, "I'm afraid to go to Columbia this Saturday."
Are you?
I am not afraid to go to Columbia this
Are
weekend.
Are you going to Columbia?
I'm not going. No,
okay.
That is true.
Okay.
The part that's true is I'm not going to Columbia for a variety of reasons. We can go through those if you want. But the part that got my attention from people is they said Carrington offered you a free ticket and a parking pass. And he claims he already offered me that. That's not true.
I think Alex Gold is afraid to go to the Missouri game. I'm serious. I mean this in friendly fun. Alex is my guy. I'm a Missouri fan. He's a KU fan. I mean this in love. Alex, last year, had a chance to go to the MUKU basketball game. Now, I know Alex. Alex loves going to sporting events. If you follow Alex on social media, he is always the first one to let you know, got his feet kicked up at the Chiefs game, going to NASCAR. You
what?
Ain't watch NASCAR.
NASCAR.
Alex
NASCAR.
Is always down to go to a sporting event. You guys remember we had that little bet last year. All right, well, hey, give me the I got to see. I don't know. I don't know what's okay. All right, man, I get it. I got it. All right, cool. today, you know, we're doing the little crosstalk segment. Hey, Alex, you going to the game? I'm going to the game. Got my tickets, got everything figured out. Bob, you're going to the game. Got great seats. Rob's going to the game. I'm like, hey, Alex, are you going to the game? I mean, I got extra tickets if you need them. I'm happy to help you out. We're brothers. We work together. We rep the same smart tech. No, man, I don't want to go to a sporting event in Columbia. Why not? What are you talking about? It's one of the biggest college football games of the year. I'm offering you tickets. You only got to give me any money for them. I didn't pay for them. Here, you can have them. They're right next to Rob.
So I'll stop it right there before more lies
were
continue.
Were you ever
a couple
offered
of things.
I think let's, you need to let's, say something.
So he's just
there's
lying?
Like, there's like five lies in the 45 seconds or minute okay. clip. Number one, last year, he said Alex could have gone to the basketball game. Never was offered tickets last year. So I know I could not gone to the KUMU basketball game.
For free.
So that's false. This year, 1,000% he has never offered me a parking pass or tickets to this Saturday's game in Columbia. Never was offered Carrington. So that's another lie. I also don't go to NASCAR races. So that's the third lie. That one doesn't matter as much. But there's three or four lies in the first minute of the clip. So false stuff being thrown out there. I don't know why the text line is believing anything Carrington's saying about this whole conversation.
I thought if you listen to Tim, too, you're going to be on our side.
Now, it is true. I do have no interest in going to Columbia. I would rather not spend a dime in that city this Saturday. So that is true. But it has nothing to do with being offered tickets or being afraid or anything like that. As I told you, Carrington will have more fun going to Lawrence next year. He's more excited to go to Lawrence next year for KUMU than he is to go to Columbia. And I also point out one final thing before we get to something else. Carrington didn't even go to the University of Missouri. He didn't graduate there. He didn't spend a dime or anything like that. So
we're doing that now.
I
went to the University of Kansas. I spent money at that university. Carrington has never spent a dime on a class at the University of Missouri in his life. But the real reason why we're bringing it back as the lead today, we were given some unbelievable information and
some
intel.
True things versus the lies that are being spread about you.
Carrington might throw out some stuff that are lies. We bring you facts. We have people all across this city looking out for this show, scouting our competition, scouting also friends of ours. In this case, it was a friend, Carrington Harrison, a friend of this show, obviously. And he was at the Royals game last night. You are holding up on the video stream a photo. This is not doctored.
YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook.
This is real. Carrington was on the Kiss Cam last night. My guess is, by the way, free tickets probably.
Yeah,
at
I
the
would
Royals
guess so.
Game. He was at the Royals game last night.
Oh, I thought you had to see that.
And there's a photo. He's on the Kiss Cam with a woman next to him. And we have video on the way. We're waiting for the video. Carrington was denied on the Kiss Cam last night at the Royals game.
Oh,
yeah.
What? We didn't do anything dirty. He made up lies about another member of this show and then has no game. Those are just two things that simultaneously happened. He lied about a member of our show, and Carrington proved he had no game on the Kiss Cam last night at Kauffman Stadium, in which, according to people who are at the game, including other people who work in this building, this photo and the eventual video we will be given.
Can't wait for the video.
Carrington was denied a kiss on the Kiss Cam.
Yeah, and I don't care who the woman is. I have no idea who it is. All we know is that's the information we have, and he was denied one way or the other on the Kiss Cam yesterday.
Honestly,
at
he might have been the reason the Royals lost. Oh. Right when he got denied the kiss on the Kiss Cam, the Royals were up 1-0.
Oh,
things
wow.
were going
yeah,
fine until he tried to lean
did
in for one.
Did you see what he said yesterday, too?
Mm-mm.
He said it's have your own row day at the K.
So he's just out here taking shots at the attendance. Getting denied. Well, yeah. And then he didn't think. He thought he was different than the Coldplay guy. He thought 13,000 people at the K, and he wasn't going to get stuck on a Kiss Cam sitting in a row by himself next to a lady.
Text line says it might be his sister. We don't have that information. All I know is we were told he leaned in for a kiss. He leaned in for a kiss.
That was the exact description someone gave us today.
Yep.
So either he was going for, it was his sister, and he was going in for a forehead kiss, in which he can confirm or deny on his own show during his own program.
Yep.
The other part
is, wait till 2:00 today to find out. He can address the allegations.
I was going to say, I think this has more legs to it.
So there's
legitimate beef now between Alex Gold and Carrington Harrison.
Why was he just making up lies about offering Gold a ticket?
I mean, legitimately, never was offered a free ticket or parking.
He just saying
Saturday.
Stuff. Never. Is this
was.
How we're starting in UKU week? We just make up lies.
That's
now?
What it is. You know, yeah, but I will say this. Like, honestly, I have a show. You know, Cody, I do on Saturdays. Part of the BetMGM network. I don't get off the air until after 11:00. I legitimately probably can't go to Columbia on Saturday. Like, if
not unless you're going to take it off. Yeah.
But if I was offered free tickets weeks ago, I might have found a way to do it. But Carrington 100% never offered me free tickets and a parking pass to the game on Saturday.
But he was on the Kiss Cam, not getting
fact.
Kissed.
That's a fact.
That, yeah, yes. No matter what happened, yep.
As
took
shown
place
by that photo.
Last night at Kauffman. Again, if you ever want to see the photos of this stuff, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, you can like
we
and
will have a
to
social media
YouTube.
Video that will be coming out as well shortly.
The video's in the works. Obviously, we can, I believe, get access to it. We're just waiting for the official. If we get it at any time, our video stream does allow us the opportunity to play a video that isn't, you know.
Oh, perfect.
So we should be able to show that to the audience, ideally.
Oh, on stream.
On stream, if and when we get the video during today's show. But, you know, that's a...
So that wasn't the plan today, but I felt like we had to start the show with it for not only the
You're backing
the
yourself
cam,
up.
But,
I like it.
It's a great start to KU
in
your week, in my
I had to address the lies coming out of Columbia, Missouri's representation that is Carrington.
Mm.
I mean, getting denied on the Kiss Cam's cold work. You ever been on the Kiss Cam cold?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Have you?
No.
I have not either. Nope.
Mm-mm-mm. I've been to many a game. They've never... stuck me on there. And he noticed it. To our understanding, he was at the game. He pointed. He noticed. And then the way it was described to us was he leaned in for a kiss and was rebuked.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
You know.
That's right. All right. Let's get back to regularly scheduled programming. Let's talk about the Chiefs. They play Friday night in Brazil. I don't know if you've heard. And the game is right here on 96.5 The Fan. We all know one of the headliners is Josh Simmons, and I'm excited to see him go up against that defensive front against the Chargers. But outside of Simmons, he's clearly going to be the most impactful rookie in 2025 for the Chiefs, and I would argue he could end up being one of the more impactful rookies in all of football. Seriously, there was only one quarterback that was drafted high. And
he
will
be rookie of the year, but
for sure.
Tackle.
I'm not saying he's going to be rookie of the year, but... Cam Ward is number one overall pick. He's a starting quarterback for the Titans. So he's the answer for probably the most impactful. He plays the most important position in football. But in terms of an impact, Josh Simmons, you can make a case, could be one of the most impactful rookies, period, in all the National Football League. For the Chiefs, it's not even a question. Who else do you think out of this rookie class could have an impact for the Chiefs? Not nationally, but for the Chiefs. I think there's only one other name here in 2025 as a rookie that we could be sitting here in a few months and say, you know what? That guy had a big impact on this Chiefs season, their run to a Super Bowl. And that name is Noel Williams. I think he will end up with the most playing time out of any of the other rookies fairly easily by the time the season ends.
I was thinking about this list because mostly I like a rookie class to have an impact. And the Chiefs have had some seasons gold where rookie classes had massive impacts. Go back to the Isaiah Pacheco draft when they had taken two corners late as well and had some good guys at the beginning, or even the Karloftis and McDuffie one. And after Simmons, I was having a hard time coming up with an answer. I don't think it's Jalen Royals. He's already not making the trip. They didn't put him on IR, so like my assumption is that he will be available sometime here soon. But by the time he maybe even gets up to speed in the offense for the time he's missed, then Rashee Rice is back, and if everyone stays healthy, there's not much place for Jalen Royals to get regular snaps on this team. Omar Norman Lott seemed like maybe the answer for a little bit, but he's been dinged up for the last month. It's Noel Williams or it's Ashton Jelotti. Unless for some reason you're still a Breshard Smith believer in the sense that a running back injury away from him having a massive impact. My fear is that the answer is actually no one. That Noel Williams is like the fifth corner right now. Ashton Jelotti is like the seventh guy in the defensive line rotation. Norman Lott, the same. Jalen Royals, even further down the list. And what we have here is maybe the most impactful rookie in the NFL and none other that will matter this season for the Chiefs. They can get by because their roster is good enough. But I don't think at the end of the year, I'm not at this moment, I would guess that zero other rookies are the kind of players we talk about as being serious impacts for the team's performance. Not contributors. That's a different job. That's a different level. But the kind of guy we might, not Simmons level, but the kind of rookies you talk about in any given year where they're major contributors to the success, you know? Xavier Worthy was a major contributor. Rashee Rice was a major contributor. I mentioned McDuffie and Karloftis. And even like some of the other like, you know, Chanel, I thought, maybe fell in it. Maybe not quite a major contributor, but like right on that fringe of where you discuss it. Like if you're taking later round draft picks, I'm not sure that they got that guy. I'd like it to be Gelati. If you let me choose, I'd choose Gelati.
Well, I'd like it to be Norman Lott. That's just not going to happen, I don't think, in 2025. I mean, I think that would be one of the best-case scenarios long-term for them as well. But I just think from what we saw in preseason and kind of the type of player that Spags likes in the secondary, I could see Noel Williams being someone later on in the year where he stands out quite a bit and kind of has a similar path to Jaden Hicks, where it takes maybe another year or so for him to fully be one of the guys. Yeah. Like, Christian Fulton signed, what, like a one-year deal? I mean, Christian Fulton's not going to be here for years.
But do you notice him because he's... And Christian Fulton's had a history. We don't talk about injury it as much. History, like, he's got a serious injury history. He misses 4 or 5 games a year, traditionally. So, like, there is an argument for Noel Williams there. If you could choose anyone, would you choose Noel Williams? Yes. I would still choose Gelati. Defensive lineman, value
position.
Oh,
anybody that I want it to be?
Yes. Oh, if you could choose a second contributor, who would it be? You just got to blindly choose.
I would want it to be Norman Lott. I don't think it's going to be him, but I would want it to be Omar Norman Lott. But between injury and they're trying to have him play on the inside and gain weight and all that kind of stuff, it hasn't worked out so far for him, other than the first week of camp without pads or whatever, where he was the story. Remember, there was a point in time during our Camp Darling segment, Norman Lott was the front runner for the first week.
He was getting
all the attention.
And then he got hurt.
And then it was quiet.
I do think some of it is what happened is they wanted him to be an interior pass rusher. It was looking pretty good there for a minute, but he's still a little bit smaller. He got dinged up, and then they're like, okay, let's get Derek Nnadi back for the year. Maybe Norman Lott can be that guy next year and be in the interior. And he can still be a rotational guy. But rotational defensive linemen, we don't talk about them as being high-impact players. Corner is really interesting because historically Spags does not trust young corners. He's a little slower on the pull there and gives them some time in order to kind of find their way. And so I wonder if there's a chance that it would take a serious injury or multiple serious injuries. Or I originally thought maybe Joshua Williams wouldn't be on the squad, and obviously
some injuries and other things, but still, he did make it. Yeah.
Yeah, he did make it. He is so, like, it just feels like Noel Williams is so far down. I'm having a hard time seeing it.
Gonna play a ton on special teams, obviously. We'll see if he has, does he have, like, is there a chance Friday night? Does he have an impact play there, a forced fumble or something like that? We saw that play out in preseason. He was involved in that. I don't think he forced the fumble, but he was involved in that. On one of the kickoff returns. I think it was the first preseason game, actually.
All right, so over the last couple of years, let's look at who was impactful. Last year was only Xavier Worthy. Kingsley was impactful, but in a really bad way. So not the way we're talking about here. So it was only, and Jaden Hicks is one of those, like, fringe guys, right?
I think he was impactful.
Way he's describing Noel Williams, where it's like, you did, by the end of the year, Jaden Hicks got snaps,
but
mattered.
But that's most rookies that are not drafted in the first two rounds. I mean, that's kind of what you're hoping. I mean, to expect much more from a, fourth, fifth, sixth round pick.
The year before, it was only Rashee Rice, and then Shamari Connor, essentially in the same boat as Jaden Hicks. Like, got snaps, played. Felix wasn't really a factor in his rookie year. McDuffie, Karloftis, Cook, Chanel, Watson, Williams, Pacheco. It was like 15 guys on the damn 2022 team who had impactful rookie years. It was three guys, and Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith, who had impactful rookie years in 2021. That's why I was looking for the second guy. Who is the level of guy, not full-time starter, but who's the level of guy who can do it? Rashard Smith, weirdly, is the good secret answer to this.
If we're talking by the end of the season, then yeah.
But it has to require an injury. The other guys, Noel Williams, Ashton Gelati, Norman Lott, they could make their voice or their name known without another guy getting hurt in front of them. Rashard Smith, the only way in which Gold, we're at the end of the season saying this is an impactful rookie is if Pacheco gets hurt, right? He's not taking the job.
And even then. And even then, I'm not so sure Breshard Smith's first man up. I think they would actually do a similar move to Kareem Hunt last year. They would find somebody else before they would say by week 4, if Pacheco got hurt, that Breshard Smith is suddenly playing more. I think Breshard Smith is a long ways away from having a real impact on the 2025.
So I don't know if we're looking at impact differently, but I think by the end of the year, Breshard Smith is going to see packages specifically made for him, and he's going to be on the field regularly.
Really?
Because he's so much different than Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Like, they don't bring what Breshard Smith brings to the table. That's not saying Breshard Smith's better than them or will be better than them. But I think, like, Pacheco will be the starter all year long as he's healthy. I think as long as Kareem Hunt's healthy, he will always be running back too. But in terms of specific packages or alignments or lining up in the slot, whatever, I think Breshard Smith will be used at a...
But honestly, how many snaps a game do you think he... By the time we get to week 10, how many snaps a game do you think he's getting?
5 to 7.
If you're getting
not special teams,
if you're getting less than 10 snaps a game, it is, you bet. I mean, it's really tough.
That is, but again, I don't. So
you might return kicks or punts.
This is where I don't know if impactful is different or not. If we're talking playing time, he's not going to be quote unquote impactful. But I think there will be situations where Breshard Smith will be able to take advantage of a defense, and they'll use it to their advantage. By week 10, he might only get 5 snaps, but if he has 3 catches and those in a touchdown, sure. Very impactful. I think it's going to be limited, but I think he'll be in some designed things where they'll be able to take advantage of a linebacker or whatever the case is out of the backfield where you wouldn't get that out of Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco in the receiving game.
At the end of the year, though, if he has 9 catches and 2 touchdowns for 85 yards, there's no way you can tell me he was an impactful player.
If he also had a couple of big kick returns, I think the kick return game is what's going to have to buoy his resume in the impactfulness department. Drew, I understand what you're saying, but there is a number of snaps, or you have to be the most efficient player with those snaps on the planet in order for it to work. And that's where I wonder.
I just wonder if we're looking at impact a little bit differently. I'd rather have Norman Lott than Ashton Gelati in terms of stepping up. Yeah. I think 100%.
Cause I know edge rushers typically matter more.
I know that the whole edge rusher thing is there. And I know the sack stuff's there, but they don't need Ashton Gelati as much as they might need Omar Norman Lott for the run stuff or whatever it is, where if he can actually step up, then it's this is a really big difference. I also think if Noah Williams ends up, because I think my bold prediction in June or July was Noah Williams will be starting by week 4.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not going to happen. But I think that's the best case scenario for the Chiefs, is if Noah Williams works out, then they know they're going to pay Trent McDuffie next year, and they'll have Noah Williams if he can be that solid number 2. The cornerback question kind of goes out the window a little bit, where all of a sudden it's not as much of a need maybe as it could potentially be for a first-round pick at the end of the season.
I think we're arguing apples to apples. They just need another good defensive lineman. If you told me it was Omar Norman Lott instead of Gelati, cool.
Somebody's got to step up there, you're saying.
They were 6th to last, 7th to last in sacks last year. Norman Lott, even if he's a force in the middle, is not going to buoy that number. He'll help in the run game or some of these other areas that are a little less noticeable. But a big sack, you can be bad on defense. If you can get sacks, you can still prevent a team from at least getting too far down the road. Meanwhile, on the other side, not the Chiefs side of the parking lot, but the Royals side, Royals lost last night, specifically after Carrington got denied on the kiss cam. They started losing. 1-0 Royals.
Ouch.
Right before the kiss cam incident. And then immediately Michael Lorenzen gave up a 2-run shot to Adele in the later part of that inning, or maybe the 6th inning is when he did that. But when we're looking at the Royals, so they lost last night. Rangers lost. Mariners lost. Same problem applies. You are no further back. Hooray.
24 games to go, though.
But there is one less game for you to play, and 24 games and 2.5 games, it's a lot. And truth is, you can only afford so many of these losses remaining on your docket. 16-8 would still get them to 86 wins. That is a 66% win percentage down the road. That's a huge ask. One of the biggest things that people were complaining about out of the game, though, is the way they made Carter Jensen do his debut. I'll admit, that is not the common way I see one of your top prospects make your debut. Coming in the bottom of the 9th inning, and a 5-1 game in which you're trailing, where you really can't have any impact on the game. You're just up for an at-bat. It felt like you were doing him a little bit of a disservice. I'm not saying he was going to make a start necessarily, but why not have him pitch hit for Nick Loft in the inning before? There were other hitters who aren't regular good big league hitters in the lineup at other spots. I don't know. Putting him in that spot felt like, it felt kind of like too soft for a guy's major league debut. Didn't feel like they did him a favor. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, we all would dream that he gets a pinch hit at bat with the bases loaded and nobody out to walk off the game. I mean, it's a Disney movie, but that's not how this thing works 99% of the time. Look,
I imagine he doesn't care. He's just a big leaguer.
I had not heard and seen people were upset. You filmed me in this morning that people were upset about his debut in terms of how it went down. So we're arguing about the fact that it was the 9th inning instead of the 8th inning. I felt like his debut was most likely always going to be in a pinch hit role initially. I mean, they're not going to give him many opportunities in the everyday lineup, or at least in the lineup for a certain day, given his position that he plays, which is catcher. And Salvador Perez is obviously going to always be in the lineup. You can say, oh, let's move him over to DH.
He's softened the blow even more. He's making it sound like Cags and Carter Jensen are never going to play.
I think they're going to be mainly pinch hit guys. And so you and I yesterday said, oh, they might appear in 17 of the final 25 games, But that doesn't mean they're starting in 12. You know, that doesn't mean they're starting in anywhere near that many, 17 of them. So that to me, like, is just, it doesn't really matter. Like, Carter Jensen will have plenty of opportunities this year and beyond in his career. They're going to do, you know, what they think is best to win down the stretch. I'm with you that I don't need to see, you know, Tolbert in the lineup down the stretch. I really don't need to see much of Nick Lofton in the lineup. I'm fine with that point. But like, oh, they did him wrong by, you know, having him pinch in the ninth. That to me, like, I don't think the Royals handled his debut poorly. That's kind of silly to me.
I gotta say that I do think it's a mistake, though, the way that they're describing that they're gonna handle this thing. In the sense that if you're telling me it's a righty, and I haven't looked at the pitching matches for today.
Right,
if you're telling
me who's pitching, yeah.
If you're telling me it's a righty pitching for the Angels tonight,
mm-hmm.
and you have Nick Lofton in the lineup instead of Jack Caglione, I think it's a mistake. And that's not even like it, I understand to this point what Jack Caglione's flaws have been, and that the
it is a righty today, by the way.
Okay,
for the,
so and the biggest issue Angels. Inside of that has been that Jack Caglione did not give them major league quality at bats in the time that he was a big leaguer, and that's a problem for the rest of the lineup and outside of those. But I would argue that Lofton hasn't done that regularly either. So unless you're going to put Yaz and Grichik and all these other guys in there together, there's a strong argument for power at the bottom of the order and seeing what you got. You thought he was ready for the major leagues. He had a bad 40 games. Maybe he's still ready for the major leagues, and he just had a bad 40 games. Like, I do think that there's an argument for, and I think that the thing that's holding him back is they're like, we're in it. And they don't want to take these big risks because they're in it, Gold. I get that. But at the same time, when you're 2.5 games back and there's only 24 games to go, I think that these guys should play some. And some of that might just be because I think Salvador Perez should get some days off. And this is the value of leadership and knowing how to work in a pitching staff versus playing the young catcher, because like mainly only offers so much offensively.
Yeah, we've talked about that. I mean, I'm just saying, let's see how it plays out like today and the next couple of days. We're acting like because his debut was a pinch hit in the ninth like that. Oh my gosh, they're not using him enough. I mean,
no, most pinch but they softened it. They made it sound like they're not going to use him.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like last night, most pinch hits are going to happen in the eighth and ninth inning. That's kind of when usually you don't see one in the fourth inning. Like I just, what would the cutoff where people would have been okay? Like they pinch hit him in the sixth inning, the eighth. Like, is it really because it was the bottom of the ninth and they were down 5-1 or like, oh, the game was already
over?
It
kind of felt like a throwaway, you know, like, and I'm not, it's not that they also owe him anything.
In a weird way,
it felt like a weird way for a hometown kid, family's all there. And you're like, take this at bat in the ninth. I mean, I'm not like upset about it. I'm just, it felt kind of like, oh, and I love major league debuts. It's one of my favorite things in sports.
Again, I would have preferred him coming up in the seventh inning, Cody.
Bases loaded,
down three, and he hits a home run. Sure, but like that's just, you know, not all of them could be Alex Gordon opening day debuts facing Kurt Schilling, bases loaded opportunity. Mm-hmm. He did strike out, but like not all of them can be that.
No. And it doesn't mean anything about his career.
He don't have his chances.
There were people in the Royals comments calling him a bust already. I'm like, are you guys sick?
That's not serious stuff.
Is there something wrong with you? Do you honestly believe this nonsense?
All right, up next, let's talk a little NFL. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, is going to join us each and every Wednesday here on the show. We'll get his perspective on the Chiefs in 2025 and how many title contenders does he believe.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Believe exist. All right, back here on Cody and Gold. We're just getting started on a Wednesday. Of course, Chiefs, Chargers, Friday night right here on 96.5 The Fan. You got the Eagles, Cowboys tomorrow night. And over the last couple of years, we've had Ross Tucker joining us on the show. We're excited to have him back for another football season. He'll join us every Wednesday at 10:30 here on Cody and Gold. And we go out to the hotline and welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. You can check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, it is great to have you back on the show, my man.
Yeah, that means it's football season. What's up, boys? You guys ready to rock and roll or what?
Yeah, we're fired up, man. We got to get to the important stuff right out of the gate. You're from Philly area, from the Philly area. Obviously, you do Eagles preseason as well. We talked to you around the Super Bowl, but the big news is whether or not are you expecting a wedding invite for the Swift-Kelce wedding?
No, I don't think so. That would surprise me. Although I was joking, like I'm decent friends with the father of the bride and the best man. So, I'm probably on the C list if they have a lot of people that turn down on the A and B list. I don't think that's going to happen, but, no, I mean, look, I'm thrilled for them, on so many different levels. And, I think it's fantastic, but no, I think you gotta be friends with either the bride or the groom. It's not enough to be friends with the best man or the father of the bride. You really gotta be with the bride or the groom. So I think I'm pretty confident I will not, in fact, be getting invited.
If you do, if you get a plus one, can I come along or, you know, what do you think?
Cody, you're like the 37th person that's already asked me that.
All right. Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
My sister, everybody. First of all, I'm not getting invited. Secondly, even if I did, I don't think I'd get a plus one. Third, if I did get a plus one, just so you know, if it wasn't my wife, she would cut a body part off, and I'm not sure which one it would be, but she would she would kill me. So, like, no.
Ross, let's talk a little football, I guess, other than the wedding stuff. And our perspective from the local end is that the national media has decided the Chiefs lost one game and got their ass kicked in the last game, and so everyone's decided they're much worse or punished more for getting to the last game but losing badly than being a team that succeeded more than just about every other team in the NFL. Do you think the Chiefs' drop-off is real based on that, or do you think that people are just remembering the last time they stepped on a football field?
Remembering the last time they stepped on a football field. I am, I guess, the opposite of the rest of the media. You know, you guys said it. I have a betting show, the Even Money Betting Podcast, which is very popular. And 2 weeks in a row, my co-host, who's a professional handicapper, he thinks it's a good bet to bet on the Denver Broncos to win the NFC West. You know, obviously it's a little bit of a longer shot, but he thinks it's pretty good value. Guys, I'm going the entire opposite way of everybody else. You know, if anybody listens to my show, the Ross Tucker Podcast, I think you mentioned Alex. I I did my predictions a couple of weeks ago. I not only have the Chiefs winning the AFC again, I have them winning the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs, I don't think their record will be as good because I don't think they'll continue this insane streak of one-score games. Their record might even be a couple games worse. I think they're going to be a better team. Yeah, I think we lose sight of the fact that they didn't have Rashee Rice, you know, that Hollywood Brown was banged up, you know, Pacheco was banged up. Obviously, the left tackle situation was not good, to say the least, with Joe Tooney out there. I mean, it's like people forget all these things that happened. For the last 10 games of the year, they're going to have Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and Rashee Rice out there at the same time. I have it on very good authority from multiple people, some of whom I might have already referenced, that Travis Kelce is in phenomenal shape and is going to have a big-time year. And wants to finish this thing, if this is, in fact, his last year, on a high note. I've got tremendous faith in Spags on the defensive side of the ball, and I have. And I think that there's supreme motivation, in particular, from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to make up for what happened in that Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win it.
We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. You mentioned the offensive line issues last year. We now know Josh Simmons is clearly the starting left tackle. He was available during camp, didn't have any injury setback or anything like that. I don't know how much you've had a chance to watch him at all. Maybe you watched him in college. What do you make of him? Because people are very excited here in Kansas City thinking perhaps they found Mahomes' left tackle for the rest of his career.
Well, they should be very excited. I can tell you this. I called multiple games for Simmons when he was at San Diego State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remember looking at him and then watching him play, and I was thinking, how the heck did this kid get to San Diego State? I mean, he was like a freshman, 6'6", 315, looked awesome, moved well. I was like, this is like the best offensive lineman in the Mountain West already as a freshman. I was doing games out there in San Diego. Then he goes to Ohio State. He's obviously very gifted. You know, it's fascinating because the Chiefs took Simmons, and I think that's going to be a major upgrade at left tackle over what they had really the last couple of years. The Eagles took Jahad Campbell, okay, who – you know, a lot of people thought was a top five, top 10 player in the draft, but he fell because of injury. One of the things I've noticed is that the GMs with more security, job security, and better teams, they're more willing to take chances with guys that have injuries like Simmons or Jahad Campbell than others are. And it pays off big time. I mean, these are like top 10 guys in the draft that they got at 31 and 32 because he didn't. And we'll see what happens. But, I mean, guys, you think about the Eagles. Landon Dickerson didn't go until the second round because he was injury prone, and he's a Pro Bowl left guard. Last year, Cooper DeJean didn't go until the second round because he was coming off an injury and whatever. I mean, the Eagles have kind of feasted on some of these guys, and the Chiefs have to some extent as well.
When you look at what they've got coming up on Friday, where are you on Justin Herbert? There's no doubt that if you created quarterback skills in a lab, he'd have most of them. But I can't get past the fact that there's like a missing element and that he's 2-11 against the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills, which means he never beats the teams way better than him. And I don't know. It just feels like there's something off about the way he plays quarterback that you almost can't put your finger on. Normally, I just boil it down to like he's not a killer or he doesn't have that instinct or whatever it is. Where are you on Herbert?
Yeah, so I think he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And there's nothing wrong with that, and that's a tremendous thing to be and for a team to have. He knows this. I've talked to him about this. Like, he needs to find a way to will his team to elevate them to win more big games and to win playoff games before he should be discussed as a top five guy. Now, in fairness, like every year his O-line gets decimated by injury, and it happened again already this year with Rashawn Slater, an all-pro left tackle, done for the year. And then even like last year, I mean, his best receiver was Ladd McConkey. I mean, there's a lot of times not a lot of dudes around him. It's funny, he went from like putting up huge numbers with good receivers, but they couldn't win, you know, close games late when he had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Then last year, they were like the opposite. They could play D, they could run, but they could run the ball better, but they didn't really have the weapons on the outside. It's like, as a team, they kind of can't put it all together at the same time. And I don't really know. They don't look to me like they've done it this year either. I mean, I think they'll be kind of what they've been.
Title contender-wise in the NFL, are there four teams, six teams? How many teams do you think, and who are they, that can legitimately go and win a Super Bowl this year?
That's a really good question. In the AFC, I think it's just the Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens. You know, I can't see the Texans taking that far of a step. I guess I would say if there's a team that can crash the party in terms of, you know, getting to the AFC Championship game, I would say it is the Denver Broncos. You know, if Bo Nix takes another step, they have a really good O-line. They have a really good defense. I don't know if he's going to be good enough to ever beat MVP caliber quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Mahomes. I think the Broncos are kind of the next team that could do it, but I don't really see anybody else in the AFC. I mean, you can make a case for the Broncos or the Bengals or maybe the Texans, but I'm not doing it. I don't see those teams winning three playoff games. I don't see them beating teams like the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs back to back. NFC might be a little bit more open, but I really have a tough time picturing it being anybody ultimately other than probably the Eagles and the Packers at this point. So I would say five teams. You know, the Lions would surprise me after losing Ragnow and those new coordinators. You know, this trade that the Cowboys just made, that might have changed everything.
That's insane.
Right? I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy I think is the best defensive player in football. And there's a lot of statistics out there that he's like a generational defensive player. When you think of his pressures, the pressures he gets versus double teams, you know, what the Cowboys defense is when he's on the field versus off. You know, I think maybe I referenced this. I don't know. I talked to a million people, but on the betting podcast, the Even Money betting podcast, he also said that he's a sports handicapper, my co-host, Steve Fezzik. Micah Parsons is worth a point and a half on the point spread every game he's in, for no matter what team he's on.
Wow, that's insane for a defensive player.
The Cowboys just lost. That's what the Packers just got. That's as high as I've ever heard for a non-core. A point and a half is huge, huge for one player. To make that much of a difference, that is gigantic. And the Packers just got – and I already thought the Packers were going to be good, right? So now I think Packers and Eagles probably co-favorites in the NFC.
When you look at – just out of curiosity, did Jerry Jones also personally negotiate or try to negotiate your contract with the Cowboys?
No. Jerry Jones only talked to me a couple times, but that's okay. That was more than Daniel Snyder, who talked to me exactly zero times. And I was an exclusive rights free agent. So they said, here's your $375. And I said, thank you, sir. May I have another? And I took it. And then, when they cut me, I talked to Parcells and I said, you're cutting me after minicamp? And he said, well, listen, I know all the CEOs of all the firms on Wall Street. I'm like, dude, I went to Princeton. I don't need a Wall Street job. I can get that. I want a job in football. Thank goodness he did that, because I went to Buffalo and had the best 3 years of my career. So that ended up being a major, major blessing in disguise.
Ross, great to have you back on the show, man. We'll have a fun football season. Thanks so much.
Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Have fun, boys. See ya.
There you go. That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. So
normally he's a little bit of a Chiefs hater, I think, according to our listeners. He's coming on here day one this year saying the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl.
How about that? So he is not buying the national noise that we've discussed, which is that, oh my gosh, they're just done. No, there was a bad day at the office. The Eagles team dominated them. But they've got plenty of pieces, and kind of agreeing with what you and I have said a little bit throughout the offseason is they're not winning 15 games again. They might only win 12 or 13, but they could still be better because if the O-line is fixed or, you know,
they're not likely to win 15 games. Most teams don't win 15 games 2 years in a row, even if they're just as good.
And it's the variance. And he brought the one score game stuff. They are still even because the Eagles game was not a one score game. They have still won 17 straight one score games. That's probably not going to continue, but hopefully they don't have a ton of one score games anyway. Now it's the NFL. Most games are one score games. It's
We've gone through this, so
difficult to predict. It's why, you know, we're doing the Circa Millions contest this week. There's six of us at the station doing five picks a week as a team. And it's really tough. It's really, really tough to come up because teams,
you got your picks yet?
I told you the one that I am putting down on the list for sure.
Yeah.
Now the line for Circa won't be out till tomorrow, the way they do their contest. But it'll probably be what it is right now at other books, which is +1.5 Bears against Vikings. I want to take I think the Bears are going to win that game outright. So that'll be one of my picks. I don't know if you guys will like that or not, but
we'll
Bears,
see how the rest. Bears, you're going to be really bummed if for some reason you get voted out on that.
There won't be any. Yeah. Are there have any arguments yet on the?
Well, because tomorrow,
because we haven't made our picks yet. Yeah, not yet.
The way Circa does the contest, even though like you can go to their app and bet on the game right now, the contest lines lock. So Thursday at like 10 a.m. Pacific time, they send out the lines. If there's an injury Friday, their line for the contest doesn't change. Okay. So by the time you get to kickoff, the Bears might be favorites. But Thursday, whatever the number is the number. The Chiefs, whatever the number is the number, the way the contest works.
The contest is interesting for that perspective because then you don't really want to make your pick still Saturday in a lot of ways because if Friday's afternoon practice sees like a quarterback go down, they don't change their line for the contest part of it. So Patrick Mahomes gets, you know, or whatever, Herbert gets dinged up on a Friday for a Sunday game, then you can take the same line the Chargers had before. You know, like, you get a little bit more flexibility in it. So there's an advantage in it.
Yeah.
The best teams win, like,
trust me, we thought about doing Survivor instead, but, you know, because Survivor's a ton of fun, but we wanted to be able to have some fun with the picks throughout the entire season.
I didn't want to, like, get through a week and then we're just done.
With Survivor. Now, the picks can be tough. Now, there's quarterly. So, like, even if we got off to a bad four-week start, you could theoretically still win money down the road because there's quarterly prizes.
I imagine I'll be in a Survivor contest. Don't worry about that. It just won't be that Survivor contest.
The worry on the pick'em is the Millions contest is if you go like 3-2 every week, that's not going to get it done.
Nope.
Like, it's not going to get it done.
Honestly, you won't even finish in the top 100. Nope. You won't even cash going 3-2 every week.
So if
we got to get hot,
you're better off going 1-4 every week or 0-5 multiple weeks than going 3-2 every week. You got to eventually have some 5-0, 4-1 weeks and then pushes are a half point.
To win a quarter, you got to go pretty much one or two losses.
Yeah, that's going to be.
You got to have an 18-2
stretch.
Let's
be real. I mean, the chance of winning quarter 19-1 is very slim. But let's get off to a nice start. Let's get off to a nice little 5-0 start.
Let's have a little. This is like Drew with the pickleball match. Let's have a little confidence early before things get bad. You know.
That's right.
Let's go into this thing thinking we're winning the whole thing.
There you
Drew.
Go. Hey, yeah.
$1 million.
Yeah.
Coming up in 12 minutes, we'll get to a wild story out of the NBA, and clearly it can't be the only organization trying this, but we'll get to that. We'll explain what we're talking about in 12 minutes or so. But Joe Montana, before Tom Brady, was considered the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yep.
And it's very clearly now Tom Brady, and Mahomes is pushing that. We'll find out where his career settles. I think Mahomes will easily finish above Montana when it's all said and done.
Second without any question.
Yeah, and the question will be how many rings does he get to potentially push Brady, and he's got a lot of work to do that. So Joe Montana, I mean, all-time legend. Legendary guy. Look, on Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
We've tried
to get him on the show. Obviously has ties to Kansas City in his time in the 90s. He was on with Pat McAfee yesterday, and this happened towards the end of our show. And we're like, oh, we gotta talk about this for a little bit. And he was asked the four quarterbacks he would start a franchise with. Just listen to this.
I'm taking the guy in Buffalo.
Okay, Josh Allen.
Yeah, all right. Josh. You know, the guy that surprised me that I thought would, obviously, Joe Burrow's another guy I like a lot.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I like the guy in the with the Chargers. Justin Herbert. I think they've kind of gone by the wayside there, but I don't know. I just like the way they all those three guys are.
BA, how do you feel about his top?
I do also like the guy in Philly though. And we'll get most.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts, okay, no, okay, okay. Just won a Super Bowl. We do like him. Brock Purdy, obviously number one. He was left out.
Right.
Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts is his Mount Rushmore outside of Brock Purdy. BA, did you expect that from Joe Montana?
I thought he might have thrown Patrick Mahomes in there, but you know I think it states how.
Well, I think I would have if he was younger.
By the way, BA is Bruce Arians. They had him on the show. Obviously, former NFL head coach, won a Super Bowl there with the Bucs.
He knew the name of Joe Burrow, though. I will say that.
That's what's weird. So he knew Joe Burrow's name.
Just like
name,
that guy for the Chargers.
Everything else was, you know, they're that guy.
Didn't know Josh Allen's name.
That guy in Buffalo. Josh Allen. Look, obviously, Josh Allen should be on this list. Joe Burrow should be on this list. I have no problem with that. Lamar Jackson, though, should be on it. And Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he's not 35. He's 30. What are we doing? Joe Montana, legendary quarterback. Thank goodness he doesn't want to be an NFL GM. If I get four names and you don't list Mahomes to start a franchise, he's not. He's 30.
All those names are also after Brock Purdy. Like, because that was the consensus. Was Brock Purdy's number one for Montana? And then after that, who else do you have?
Fine. So we'll just give him the San Francisco end for that one. Does he realize that all the other quarterbacks he listed are pretty much the same age as Patrick Mahomes?
Josh Allen's 29. Mahomes is
30. They're all within a two and a half years.
Joe Burrow's 28. He's not like some spring chicken. He's not 22 years old.
Herbert's the youngest.
Mahomes is not 30 for another couple weeks.
A disservice. Yeah, Mahomes isn't even 30 till the 17th. So they are the exact same age. So
they're both 29. Joe Burrow's only 1 year younger
Herbert's 27, but that's it.
When's he turn 28?
Who?
Burrow.
I figured you had it memorized, Drew. December 10th.
Herbert's 27.
Burrow. He's 28, according to Google's quick search. Is
his birthday today? I looked at him yesterday.
March 10th. He's 27. He'll be 28 in March.
Yeah. Herbert.
Burrow is 28.
Herbert's the youngest. There's a 2.5 year gap between all the guys that were mentioned.
So there's a 2 year gap between Herbert. One guy has 3 Super Bowls, 5 appearances, multiple MVPs, has led the league in touchdowns and yards and everything else. And one guy's just 24 months younger, and we're making a decision on who we would start and we would start a franchise with. At least choose Hurts is probably the youngest of that group, we think.
Yeah, and that's fine.
It's Herbert.
Jalen Hurts is 27 as well.
Jalen
Hurts just turned 27, actually.
Oh, well, then it's Hurts.
Hurts is the youngest by a couple months. Look, the point is, Joe Montana, legendary quarterback, all-time great, all that is true. He's way off on this, though. The age argument doesn't work. And the other part,
it's because he's a threat.
I think it's a legacy thing. Yeah. Brady already passed you, and now you know there's another guy named Mahomes possibly passing you as well. I think that's part of the equation. Either that or he just truly forgot his name and just covered because he also couldn't remember some of these other guys' names.
I think
names.
He also doesn't.
That guy in L.A. with the Chargers.
And then he's like, I thought he'd put Mahomes. Yeah, I'd probably have him.
That guy are we sure in that he Philly? Watches enough football, though? Because, look, and I don't know. I would assume he seems to be in
walking around with those Skechers or whatever.
Good, yeah, yeah.
Shape-ups.
If you in the NFL, I think that if you're going to consider a quarterback on your Mount Rushmore, you're going to know the quarterback's name. Like the guy with the Chargers, you would know his name. If you really thought Justin Herbert was that dude, then he would know Justin Herbert's name instead of just saying he's the guy on the Chargers. I don't know exactly what that was all about.
I think he forgot legitimately. I think he forgot Mahomes. I think he forgot. And then he's like, oh, he must be like 34. He's older. And then, no, you know, he's like,
it's the success that skews you. He's
like,
done
very
so
well
much. He must be 40 by now.
Yeah.
You're like, no, he just doing that all at the young age instead of, you know, waiting for the rest of his career in order to do it. I just don't any conversation. Like if you started a franchise, Mahomes is not 36 years old, by the way, out of just morbid curiosity. Okay. So we all agree that if you started an NFL franchise, it would be without question. The four guys would be Patrick Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Jackson. Cool. Who is the guy? Is Hurts your number one answer? If you started a franchise today and you couldn't take those four guys.
Jaden Daniels would be number one for me.
Not Hurts?
Jaden Daniels, then Hurts.
Hurts would be second.
Not Herbert?
No.
Jaden Daniels. Let me think it out here. You get four names. So Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts. I know you'll hate it. I'll probably still go Trevor Lawrence on this. Sorry.
Oh, no. He'd be so far.
I'm going to say Jordan Love ahead Herbert of Justin. Right. I would say Jordan Love ahead of Justin Herbert. He's also younger.
And I would add Caleb Williams still to the list because I still believe.
Oh, you're still a Caleb guy?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. For Herbert to turn, if we're talking about age, there are many guys I would take above Herbert. Just for to use Joe Montana's
it's not
argument?
Just, but he's still, but I'm not using Joe argument. Montana's argument for a 27-year-old. He's 27 years old. He's young old. Enough to he's be my old. Starting quarterback. Yeah. That's young enough for me.
So I'd go Daniels, Williams, Hurts, and I'd go Trevor Lawrence, and Cody's going to freak out. But that's
I mean, no, you wouldn't have Stroud above Trevor Lawrence? You would rather start this thing with Stroud instead of Trevor
Lawrence?
I'd rather
Stroud than Herbert.
I pulled a Montana. I forgot about Stroud.
Yeah, I think you're forgetting Stroud. Stroud would be ahead of a few of these
you
guys.
You see the big talking point in Houston about Stroud, though? They think he's too emotional on the field. Like when his teammates get hurt, like they view it as a weakness now. That's like a conversation.
Oh, he's too emotional?
Because he was so emotional with the Tank Dell injury. Now that they're saying that's a problem. Seriously, that's a conversation in Houston. I'm not saying it is. I'm just telling you it's been a conversation.
They're calling him soft because the guy ripped his knee apart.
I'm not
Stroud
agreeing
or
with
Hurts
it,
might be my answers. Hurts, it's like I am kind of like in the like, is he as good as or is it just the roster? Like I get the argument for it, but the man's successful. Like I can't deny his success. Stroud would have to be. I mean, he's like 25, 26, and I don't know. Like
it's a big year for him, though. You admit it, right? Like everybody's opinion is Stroud.
It's the Herbert year.
Everybody's opinion. Yeah. Stroud's only 23. He turns 24 in October.
He's 23. Yeah,
he's so Stroud might be taking him.
Yeah, I should have him on there. But if he has another year that's disappointing, the view of him will change. He'll be in the middle of the road now. He was.
Yeah.
Guys were he was in the top 10 a year ago.
He'll get stuck into the Herbert vortex of like, yeah, I know that you can play football, but if you're not going to go anything above this level of playing football, and he's got a number one wide receiver. Nico Collins is very, very good. And so, like,
drafted all of those Iowa State wide receivers, too, as rookies.
Don't forget, football, of course, is back at ESPN Bet Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. You can join them Friday, September 5th, as Kansas City takes on LA in Brazil and register to win your share of $5,000 in pin bonus play during the game. Up next, we'll get to this story out of the NBA that has to be happening with other organizations, right? We'll explain what really went on next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.